You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, let's go around the NBA. You ready, Curtis?
Always ready.
All right, around the league we go. So I mentioned that there are some big contracts being thrown around the NBA right now. I don't even know where to start. So Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz. By the way, big fan of his game. Two-time defensive NBA champion. Got the Defensive Player of the Year award, and then last season it was Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, why doesn't the league just keep ignoring Anthony Davis? But Rudy Gobert, a fantastic defensive player, has incredibly limited skill on the offensive side. Okay, that's just the reality. This is not me taking a shot at Rudy Gobert, but if you're one of the best defensive players in the NBA and you do not have a skill set on the offensive side of the ball, do you know what that equals, Curtis?
A lot of points.
That equals 5 years, $205 million. That's a contract extension that Rudy Gobert got. Largest deal for a center in league history. I'm assuming they're putting Giannis as a power forward. So he averages almost 15 points a game, 12.6 rebounds, and 2.3 blocks per game. Said he did not request a supermax deal to give the team flexibility to keep building. I love that. That might be my favorite quote of this whole thing.
That's a true team player.
Yeah, he did not ask for a supermax deal. He said, listen, I'm good at 5 year 205. I'm good. You want to know why? Because I'm not selfish. I'm here for the team. He said that he wants to build with him and Donovan Mitchell. You know, Utah's an interesting squad because last season, I thought when they got Mike Conley, I think a lot of people thought this, right? I think a lot of people thought when Mike Conley joined that roster that, hey, you know what? This is a formidable opponent. They lose in the first round of the playoffs to the Denver Nuggets. And that's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with losing to Denver. I mean, heck, Denver was, I thought, the toughest competition of the Lakers and winning that championship. Okay, maybe you can make an argument. Obviously, Miami took two games, but Denver's a good squad. It took an Anthony Davis buzzer beater. I mean, there's a lot of things that went on in that series. Their inexperience. Utah lost in Game 7 after being up 3-1 against the Denver Nuggets. We know Denver came back 3-1 against Utah. They came back 3-1 against the Clippers. I don't know, Curtis. I don't know where to put Utah right now. I tell you this, Rudy Gobert, and if you read his quotes, you know, he kept saying that this is where I want to win an NBA championship. I feel like we can do it. I think Utah could be a good team for a number of years, but Utah is not a team that ever, I think, scares me to think like, hey, watch out for them. They're about to win a chip.
There's just too many good teams all in the West. You almost need to break the West.
They're at the same level, aren't they?
Give people a chance.
But aren't they at the same level? Like, Utah is not that far off from Denver, who's in a similar class as Dallas, who's, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of teams in the Western Conference, I feel like they're all just kind of the same. And yes, you might have one team be a little bit better than the other. Actually, to be honest with you, I don't even know the second best team in the Western Conference is anymore. Because if I thought the Clippers held that spot, that this was where the Los Angeles Clippers, they're the second team to beat after the Los Angeles Lakers. There's such a drop off, I feel, between Lakers and the West of the Western Conference. You can lump all those teams together, and I think Utah falls into that category as well.
Isn't that such a good feeling, knowing that the Lakers are so far ahead, so much further ahead than everyone else?
Well, listen,
it feels good to me.
It's one thing to you know, on paper and the way I started off the show, that, you know, Laker fans should really kind of think back to what the last couple of years have been like. I mean it when I say it, because this could be one of those windows in Lakers history where there's multiple championships. It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, for many franchises, it never happens. So I'm not going to compare this window to, you know, obviously the Showtime era or the Kobe and Shaq era, but it could be like a Kobe and Powell era, right? Where you go to three straight NBA finals and you might win two of them. That's not unrealistic. That's probably more realistic than anybody thought when LeBron first got over here. So, and the expectation is to win, obviously, another championship. All right, Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert taking one for the team. 5 years, $205 million. It's kind of almost as if he's volunteering. He's doing this for the team. Did not take the Supermax deal. Okay, some more top NBA stories. Okay, trying to understand this one. The Milwaukee Bucks lose the 2022 second-round pick for talking to Bogdan Bogdanovic before free agency started. So let me kind of read off a little bit of the details here. So if you guys remember, the Milwaukee Bucks, right as free agency started, they're wheeling and dealing. They're trying to get Bogdan Bogdanovic. They work out a deal for Jrue Holiday. The pressure was on for them to, you know, continue to put together a championship roster. So Giannis Antetokounmpo says, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to build my career here, and let's go from there. So here are the details on what happened with Bogdan. The NBA said team had discussions with Bogdan and or his agent before the start of when free agency chats were allowed. This is what I'm confused about. I thought this has been kind of the running joke when it comes to free agency, that everybody talks before free agency starts, that teams are already talking to players, they're already talking to agents by the time midnight strikes, right? I know it's different this year. This season was, what was it, November 21st or something like that is when free agency started. But typically they say, like, by the time July 1st comes and it's 9 p.m. on the West Coast and it's midnight, in obviously in the East Coast, and all these free agent deals start, these conversations have already been had. So if you're losing a second rounder for having an early conversation, I don't know if they're trying to send a message here. I don't know if the NBA is trying to be stricter than they have been in the past, but I think that sends a message. I really do.
It's more of an offense than finding a team for a wink on a late night talk show.
Oh, that's right. Magic and Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, we got fined for a lot less than that.
But listen, I don't kind of throw around that's not a big deal. Losing a second round pick, I think it's a big deal. Lakers have made a lot of deals where the second round pick is part of the deal. Or think of players that have been drafted in the second round over the years. Yes, that's going to be a late Milwaukee Bucks pick, but trust me when I tell you, there have been fantastic players drafted in the second round. So I don't find this as small news. What I will say is hopefully the NBA is consistent. If they really don't want teams talking to free agents and talking to player agents before free agency starts, it's got to kind of be one rule for all, not kind of here or there. I'm surprised a second-round pick was taken from the Bucks. Okay, top NBA stories. Two games coming up tomorrow. So the NBA obviously tips off tomorrow. We all know about the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers get to sit back and watch the Lakers get their championship rings. The first game is the Brooklyn Nets versus the Golden State Warriors. So that's a 4 p.m. tip-off. Lakers are at 7 p.m. So Kevin Durant was asked if this game is extra special to him because he's playing his former team, the Golden State Warriors. He said, I feel like each game is important to me. And it's no more important to me because I'm playing against my old teammates. I just feel like the game of basketball is going to have me on that level anyway, and it's going to be good to see some of my old teammates. Basically, to kind of, and he goes on, he's quoted a ton in this article, or at least with the media. Basically, what he's saying, Curtis, no, I don't think this game is very special for Kevin Durant tomorrow. To be honest, it's kind of weird seeing KD in a Brooklyn Nets jersey. But it was also weird seeing KD in a Golden State Warriors jersey. I think, you know, I'll always look at Kevin Durant, his time with the Oklahoma City Thunder is, I think, where I was one of the biggest KD fans. And since then, everywhere that he's been, I feel like it's been, it hasn't always looked like home for KD. It's almost like he's visiting, you know what I mean? Where Oklahoma City was home to him.
He's also kind of, it seems like ever since he went to Golden State, he kind of tried to be the bad guy a little bit, kind of like what LeBron did when he went to Miami. So I don't know. It's people, he's hit and miss, but I want to see what Draymond does when he matches up with him.
Well, that'll Draymond, I think, is not playing tomorrow.
Oh, then.
So we're not going to see it. And I don't know when they play again, but I'm assuming they're only playing twice this year. So we'll see if Draymond. Listen, KD, in a nutshell, I did an interview earlier today just with another radio station, and the conversation came up about the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant. If KD's KD, they got as good of a chance as anybody to come out of the Eastern Conference. I mean, KD is a cold-blooded killer. That's one of the best players in the NBA. Watching him play is unbelievable. To see a 7-footer pull up the way he does, has his crossovers, pull up from 22 feet. I mean, KD is really an absolute beauty to watch. I just don't know what his health is going to be, right? So that's going to be the big question. And the Eastern Conference, let's put that matchup to the side for a second, the Golden State Warriors in Brooklyn tomorrow. I feel like the East is wide open. You know, you could say, okay, Milwaukee's going to be the favorite again. But would you be shocked or surprised if Brooklyn came out? Would you be shocked or surprised if Philly came out? I don't think you'd be shocked or surprised if Miami came out. Where the West seems like a foregone conclusion, the Lakers are coming out. You know, if obviously everything just goes as planned, there's no injuries, COVID doesn't take over the NBA, whatever the case is, you just assume the Lakers are going to come out of the West. In the East, I'm not sure. Chris, if you got to pick one team in the East right now, who would you pick?
I mean,
Washington? All right, I'm kidding. Right.
Yes, 100%. I hate to say it, but maybe Boston. But like we were saying, it's kind of hard to pick somebody because it is so.
I forgot
so
about Boston. I'd even put them on that list that I just went through with you.
It could be anybody. Like you said, I mean, Miami came out of nowhere in the bubble, so I think anything could happen as well.
All right, I would say if I had to pick one team, I think Philly is going to be a problem, but if I had to pick one team, I think I would stay with Milwaukee. Jrue Holiday was a good pickup for them, but I mean they got a lot to prove. They still haven't obviously got to the NBA Finals, even though they've had the best record in the NBA. They still haven't got to the NBA Finals last couple of years. By the way, they've had the best record. Okay, let's keep moving on here. Top NBA stories. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. If you missed the first hour, get back on there. Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. Get on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Kyle Kuzma came on. You can catch that full Kyle Kuzma interview. All right, top NBA stories as we continue. Kawhi Leonard was talking about... Okay, so let me explain Kawhi Leonard's contract real quick. Kawhi Leonard, when he signed with the Lakers last... or when he signed with the Clippers last season, he signed a 3-year deal, 2 years guaranteed, the final year of player option. So this could essentially be the final year of Kawhi Leonard with the Los Angeles Clippers. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. I think Kawhi probably stays with the Clippers. But let me read off a quote of what Kawhi told reporters earlier. So first of all, he says the best decision for him is to decline his player option. So his player options last year. Let me read this off. Obviously, if I'm healthy, the best decision is to decline the player option. But that doesn't mean I'm leaving or staying. I'm focused on this season. Like I said, we'll talk about that when the time is right. You know what I'm curious about? And I think, Curtis, I'm sure there's a lot of NBA fans out there. What do the Clippers do, and what happens to a guy like Kawhi Leonard if the Clippers, let's say, just made it to the second round again and again don't get to the Western Conference Finals? Again, it's the Lakers and it's the Denver Nuggets, or it's the Lakers and the Utah Jazz or the Dallas Mavericks or one of these other teams in the Western Conference. I don't know what happens to the Clippers. I will tell you that they had a pretty disappointing offseason. I still think the big question mark for the Clippers is going to be chemistry. But if you don't get to the Western Conference Finals again, and you're Kawhi Leonard, do you want to stay with the Clippers? If you're the Clippers, do you start kind of saying, all right, maybe we're going to take a different route? I know they just signed Paul George to a long-term deal, but Paul George is not the one that you want guaranteed for 5 years. You want Kawhi.
Hey, man, at least he doesn't... You don't want to go to L.A. It's a circus over there, right? You don't want to go to the Lakers, right?
Oh, Jerry. By the way, I mean, listen...
That's putting it nicely, by the way.
Listen, I know I won't spend too much time on this, but Jerry West is the greatest executive in the history of the NBA, and he's the architect of a lot of championships with the Los Angeles Lakers, so, you know, it's unfortunate to see some of those reports. The reality is... you know, he's still an all-time Laker great, and that's the bottom line. And anything that happens now is unfortunate, but he'll always be considered a Lakers great. But I really don't know. I'm not 100% sure what the Clippers are going to do. I do know this: what they signed Marcus Morris to a 4-year, $64 million deal, something along those lines. And then I saw today, Luke Kennard signed a 4-year, $64 million extension with the Clippers. 24-year-old, drafted by the Pistons, averages about 16 points a game, at least with the Pistons, 40% shooting from the three. So for any of those out there that are questioning a contract like KCP or Kyle Kuzma, 3 years, $40 million, those are two contracts I just listed from the Los Angeles Clippers. 4 years, $64 million that I don't think I don't think those are good contracts. Not that they can't be moved in the NBA or anything along those lines, but if we're talking contracts, and you got actually a lot of players. I think Markelle Fultz, I saw, signed a contract worth $50 million today. Big decisions were coming up by the end of today for a lot of these rookie contracts are going to come to a close. Lonzo did not agree to an extension with the Pelicans, so that's all going to develop, which means there's going to be conversations that come this summer where teams can go out and make bids for some of these players, and then it's up to the other team to try and match those bids. Okay, Adam Silver was on with First Take earlier today with Stephen A. Smith. And he talks about COVID-19, talks about the effects it could have on the NBA, what LeBron means to the NBA, all that coming up next, plus Anthony Davis just his confidence heading into the season after a title. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa with 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Lakers taking on the Clippers tomorrow. Opening night in the NBA. Opening night on December 22nd. Spectrum in the background right now has got Lakers and the Heat. Game 6, NBA Finals. How about Lakers? By the way, what a great game that is to go look back and watch. I mean, Lakers demolished the Miami Heat in that Game 6. Remember Game 5? Everybody was starting to get excited. Everybody thinking, hey, it might happen. It might happen in Game 5. It was a close game. Listen, everybody at the station brought a lot of things that were ready for a celebration. And it didn't happen. And Game 6 was like, oh, it's freaking happening. I mean, I know I walked into the studio like nobody talked to me. Like it was game time. But they're replaying that game right now. Lakers dominated. Just absolute domination. And what a fun championship run. It's cool, actually, by the way, seeing, you know, you see JaVale McGee and you see Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, you see all these players for the Lakers that were such key pieces for that championship run. And now all those players are gone. And that's part of the interesting, that's what makes this season interesting, is you have so many guys to go to this upcoming year. And there's no guarantee this whole thing is going to work. I mean, I might sit here and shout on a microphone that Lakers are favored to go back-to-back, and you might listen to other shows and everybody is just praising the Los Angeles Lakers. It's not a foregone conclusion. Should it be? Yeah, maybe it should be. But the reality is, until you go out there, it's one thing to have it on paper. So the curiosity this upcoming season is, how are guys like Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell going to find ways to fit in and to sacrifice when they need to? Are Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso, and KCP going to take their game to another level? What's LeBron at age 36, 18 seasons into the NBA? Is Anthony Davis going to be the best player on the team now? Is that baton being passed to AD? So those are the things that we have to look forward to, much different than what we were looking forward to a few years back, to say the least. Okay, so let me kind of change gears here for a quick second. So Adam Silver was on, the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, who has got a ton of praise over the last, since he's been put in, since he took over for David Stern, he's got a ton of praise. And most of that has to do with his way of collaborating with the players and with the players' union and really, really making it a partnership. You know, there's other commissioners around the league. And I don't just say this just to say it. I mean, yes, I'm a big NBA fan, but it's very easy to see some of the other commissioners where they're working with the players or they're working against them. Basically, they're asking for their opinion or they're telling them this is how it's going to be. And that's how it seems like a lot of the times with baseball or the NFL. I mean, certainly we've had enough examples of that, especially during COVID, where these leagues got to work together, where you can, you know, I think it brings up who's pulling the rope in the same direction and who's pulling in the opposite direction. So Adam Silver was asked, this is going to be a new challenge. You know, I don't want to underestimate the challenge that the NBA has. When everybody went out to Orlando, that was smooth sailing. And I'm not saying that it was an easy production to put together, but they made it look easy. I mean, I know about a month into being in the Orlando bubble, not me personally, but didn't it just seem like nothing was going to stop the NBA, that they just were not going to have a positive test or anything along those lines? Well, the challenge this year is going to be completely different. You're not in a bubble. You're traveling across the country. You know, you're going to be staying at hotels. I mean, it's going to be obviously a completely different. Here's Adam Silver talking about COVID-19 and talking about, you know, some of the challenges that the NBA has and some of the protocols that they have.
It's a fair question, and it's going to be a very different operation being outside of a bubble. I mean, as you know, there were all sorts of issues going into the bubble, and we weren't sure how that would work, and it ended up working in many ways far better than we thought. I mean, now that we're going to be in essence, 30 different markets, or, you know, and completely outside of a bubble, there's no doubt we're going to have issues. We've been watching closely what's been happening, not just with other leagues, college sports, et cetera, that are playing outside a bubble. And even, you know, Stephen A., I'd say aside from violations of protocol, we know that even people who are following all of our rules exactly as intended, that when you're living at home, you have children in school, you have family members who are out and about, no one is immune from this virus. So, I mean, we'll have all kinds of procedures in place to attempt to assure that our protocols are followed. And of course, to the extent they aren't, we'll address it. And I think one of the conversations we've been having with our players association is we may have to adjust our protocols as we go, depending on how things are working. But to your point, this is going to be a far different environment than being in a bubble. And there's no doubt, I think, it's highly likely that there will be cases based on what we're seeing in society around us.
So one of the things that I had concerns with, and this is kind of, I think, with sports in general, but one of the things I had concerns with when the NBA was going to the Orlando bubble is you didn't want a champion to be crowned or a team to lose a key player that determined a series. You know, you didn't want that to be what ended up determining the NBA champion. It didn't happen. You know, the Bucks lost to the Miami Heat. That's it. They lost to the Heat. They didn't play good enough. Giannis was exposed. The Clippers lost to Denver. And, you know, they were up 3-1, and when the going got tough, they didn't find a way to roll up their sleeves and say, all right, this is where our true character comes out. No, they folded. But COVID-19 did not impact the competition. Okay, you could say, well, no, it did affect it because they're all playing in Orlando. They missed time with their family. They don't have the ability to leave the bubble. Okay, you can make that case, but at least everyone was under the same circumstances. An all-star player didn't get COVID in Orlando, and then that team was eliminated because they didn't have that player. That didn't happen. Can that happen this upcoming season? I guess it can. I mean, there's a reason why they only put out half the schedule. We only know the first 37 games for the Lakers. We don't know after that. There's reasons for it. And I think everybody is cautiously optimistic, and I don't even know if that's the term that you want to use, but hearing Adam Silver, you know, obviously talk about the protocols and everything else, that's something to, you know, obviously keep in mind. This I thought was interesting too. The question came up is, what if players don't want to be vaccinated. So that this has been a conversation, not just in the NBA, just in general. There's some, you know, citizens of the country that don't believe in vaccines, or they don't trust vaccines, or whatever the case is. Here's Adam Silver addressing that.
First of all, we don't have the right, short of a negotiation with their union, to require them to get vaccines. And I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. I mean, I understand some people don't want to get vaccinated. I think a part of it will be a public education campaign. I'm also hoping that as more people get vaccinated, it increases the public's confidence in the vaccine and the testing protocols they've undergone thus far, in order for the government to, in essence, verify that it is safe. But I think as time goes on, I think more people will recognize the importance of getting vaccinated. And again, not just for themselves. I mean, this is a conversation we've already begun with some members of the NBA community. Again, for young, healthy people, while it's still an incredibly serious disease, they tend to do better than older people or people with underlying conditions. So for our players, ultimately, the reason to get vaccinated may not be to protect themselves. It may be to protect their parents, their grandparents, and other members of the community.
All right, that's Adam Silver right there. So this is it all starts tomorrow. We'll figure out how things go. I do remember it was about a week ago, the NBA did, you know, obviously their COVID-19 tests, and out of the entire NBA players, over 500, this was on December 10th. I remember Shams Charania of The Athletic put it out, and only one player tested positive. So we'll see kind of how things progress on that front, and we'll see how much of an effect COVID-19 will have. But it is nice to have some of these, you know, obviously some of these teams back at the arena across the street here at Staples Center. Lakers and Clippers will play. So I think there's some excitement to that, and I think that's obviously a key piece of this upcoming season. Okay, so Jovan Buha, he covers the Lakers for The Athletic. He was covering the Clippers for the last couple of seasons. And actually, I really, really am a fan of his coverage, so I'm looking forward to having him come on. He's coming on next. And one of the, I think, kind of the unique angles to take with Jovan is the fact that he did cover the Clippers for the last couple of years. So I'm curious to get his thoughts on what he thinks of the Clippers this upcoming season, what that matchup looks like tomorrow between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Clippers. So we'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Stay right here. I'm Alan Sliwa on Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'd appreciate everybody being a part of the show. I want to welcome in Jovan Buha, covers the Lakers for The Athletic. Jovan, what's going on, man? Thank you for taking some time and joining the show.
Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, look at you. A little transition here. There we go. How long were you covering the Clippers?
Wow. Going back to 2011.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah, I started in college, my sophomore year. So, yeah, it's been almost a decade.
Well, it's funny. You and I have had some awesome conversations over the years, and you know, obviously, usually in the media room at Staples Center, and we're just talking shop. I mean, we're just both huge NBA fans and huge basketball fans. So when I saw the news today on Twitter that you are going to be shifting over and covering the Lakers, first of all, I'm happy for you because I think this is great for you, and I think Laker fans will really, really like your coverage, respect your coverage. So I'm excited to see you making the move.
Thank you, man. I'm very excited. You know, as you said, this is a great opportunity. You know, covering the defending champs, covering LeBron, covering AD. You know, I've been watching, you know, the team from afar the last couple of weeks. When I kind of knew that this transition was happening, and I can just say, like, from watching the preseason and stuff, like, this is a fun team. This is an exciting team. And again, obviously the defending champs, but they play a fun style of basketball. And, you know, not to compare the Clippers and the Lakers in any way, but, you can just kind of see that joy and that competitiveness. And it's something I recently wrote about that, you know, KCP talked about it recently. Alex Crusoe talked about it recently, that, you know, this team takes every game, every possession seriously. And I think you saw it in those two comebacks against Phoenix in the third and fourth preseason games. So I'm excited to watch this team on a nightly basis and do my small part in trying to cover them and give fans something fun to read.
Well, part of, you know, my I'm looking for intel. That's really what this is all about. I'm very kind of under the radar spying on the Clippers. That's kind of what this whole interview is, Jovan. No, actually, look, I do want to get your thoughts, because as we get ready for Lakers-Clippers tomorrow, you know, I think there's a lot of question marks about what this Clippers team is. And if there's one thing that stood out, in my opinion, from the Lakers and the Clippers last season, you know, like you mentioned, there's guys that genuinely enjoyed coming to work. There was great chemistry in that Orlando bubble with the team. Not that the circumstances were perfect or anything. When you look at the Clippers and you look at what kind of stopped them from getting a chance to play the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, I'm hoping you could address that. Why do you think the Clippers couldn't win a game up double digits against the Denver Nuggets three straight games? And do you feel like they addressed any of that in the offseason?
Yeah, so I think it's hard to pinpoint one thing exactly. You know, if you really want to get literal, they did miss a bunch of wide open shots in games 5, 6, and 7. Now, whether you want to call that, you know, choking or crumbling under the moment, or you know, however you want to, you know, kind of diagnose that, I think that is the most, you know, literal form of what happened. But I do think that there was elements of, you know, not making enough adjustments defensively. You know, they never figured out the Jokic Murray pick and roll, how to defend that, you know, with any of their guys, including Kawhi and PG. So I think that was a big thing. I think multiple guys leaving the bubble. I mean, if you really looked at the contenders across the league, like the Clippers were the team that had the most guys. You know, they had 7 guys either arrive late to the bubble or leave at some point. And then obviously, of course, you know, Lou Williams going to Magic City and having, you know, his 10-day quarantine and stuff. So I think you get all those factors. And then you add in the chemistry. And, you know, it's something that I reported on, you know, several times over the past 12 months or so, of, you know, a locker room that was disjointed at times, guys not getting along, guys not addressing issues, and, you know, dealing with preferential treatment and some of the fallout with some of that stuff. So I think there was a lot there. There were many different factors that played into it. And that's how you have what happened, because it can't really just be one thing to blow a 3-1 lead like that. Because to me, I mean, it's one thing to blow a 3-1 lead, but when you have a double-digit lead in all three of those games and you still lose, there was something deeper there. And that's what I tried to uncover with my coverage. You know, it's hard to say one thing, but I think, again, you know, injuries, guys leaving the bubble, lack of coaching adjustments, lack of chemistry, and just some guys going cold at the wrong time. I think all those things played into it. And as far as addressing it, I do think Ty Lue is an upgrade over Doc in terms of X's and O's. I do think Serge Ibaka will help them with his three-point shooting and rim protection. And I even like Luke Kennard as an upgrade over Landry Shamet. Is it enough? I don't know. I still think that there's a little bit of a hole as far as a lead ball handler. I still think that there might be a guy or two short depth-wise in terms of looking at like the 9th and 10th spots. But, you know, I think 1 through 7, 1 through 8, they are probably better than last year, or at least comparable. But I do think the chemistry will be better. So, you know, I'm no longer covering the team, so I won't be kind of, you know, consuming what's going on a daily basis. But I do think that they are probably better set up this year than they were last year.
Yeah, that's the part that, you know, I was trying to kind of get to is when you see Lakers and the Clippers tomorrow and you look at the entire Western Conference, I think there's a legitimate question mark of trying to figure out who's the biggest competition of the Lakers in the West. Before preseason started, I had mentioned that it's the Clippers. Michael Thompson, who I do the pregame show with, thinks that, no, he thinks the Clippers took a step back, and a team like the Denver Nuggets, that's a team to really watch out for. Look at the Dallas Mavericks, and I guess I guess we won't know who the, you know, the biggest threat is to the Lakers, and we'll start getting a little bit more information tomorrow and over the next 30 days, 60 days, and everything else. Johan Buha, who covers the Lakers for the Athletic, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. What do you think Montrezl Harrell is? What do you think his role is going to be for the Lakers? What do you think he brings to the Lakers? How do you think he's going to be an asset, getting a chance to obviously see him over the years, but specifically with the Lakers, how do you think he'll fit in?
I think he's a really good fit. I think this is a great situation to kind of accentuate his strengths and protect his weaknesses, right? Because, you know, I think what ended up happening, you know, when he was on the Clippers, especially in that Denver series, I mean, one, he missed a month in the bubble due to the, you know, unfortunate passing of his grandmother. He was very vocal about how much that affected him. And when he returned, he clearly was not the same player. So, you know, kind of looking at the bubble version of Trez, it is unfair to kind of hold him to that standard and compare him to that version because he was just in a different place mindset-wise. But I think, you know, strengths are he's immediately going to be a fan favorite for his energy, for his finishing in the pick and roll. As the guy who's going to crash the glass hard, you know, just always playing hard, always very energetic. You know, normally if there are fans in the arena, you know, would be flexing to the crowd and pumping them up. And, you know, he's just a guy it's an instant shot of caffeine when he enters the game. So I do expect him to come off the bench. I think he's going to, you know, back up Marc Gasol, you know, maybe close games sometimes depending on the matchup. But I'm really looking at him and AD and those minutes together, because when you look at Trez's weaknesses, which would be sometimes his rebounding against bigger guys, and then sometimes his rim protection and just kind of defensive rotations, like Anthony Davis is the perfect guy to pair next to him because he can erase those mistakes and he can make up for some of those things and kind of slide Montrez down to the four, which I think is his more natural position defensively. So the Clippers were really, you know, playing him exclusively at the five and you know, putting him in situations where he had to protect a Lou Williams or a Landry Shamet. The Lakers don't really have those types of defenders, you know, or defensive liabilities in their rotation. So if you look at pairing, you know, Trez with a KCP, a Wes Matthews, and Alex Caruso, like those pairings are going to be stronger because those perimeter defenders are better. So I do think that the Lakers overall with their size, you know, not only putting them next to an AD, but putting them next to a Markieff or Kyle Kuzma or LeBron, like, that's a big front line that can help make up for Trez's lack of size in certain matchups. So I do think when looking across the league, like where Trez would fit in great, the Lakers were on that short list. So from that perspective, looking at the value of the contract that they got for him, I do think this is an ideal situation for him. I think he probably will rebuild some of the value that he had lost because of his bubble performance. And again, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he and AD look like together, because I think that could be a pretty good pairing.
Johan Buha covers the Lakers for the Athletic here on covers the Lakers for the Athletic this upcoming season on Lakers Talk here on 710 ESPN. You know, one thing that I am kind of curious about is head coach Frank Vogel has pretty much he's held his cards as far as the starting lineup goes tomorrow, and even earlier today we got a chance to hear coach, and he pretty much said, "Yeah, I'll let you guys know tomorrow." What do you think happens there? I mean, I've kind of taken my guesses over the last couple of weeks, and I know Dennis Schroeder, when he originally signed with the Lakers or when he was originally traded to the Lakers, expressed, "Hey, I'd love to play with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. He thinks he could be an asset." You think Schroeder ends up in the starting lineup? If you just had to guess who the starting five is going to be for the Lakers, who would you say it's going to be?
I think the starting five is going to be Mark, AD, LeBron, KCP, and Schroeder. I think that, and I mean, I'm intrigued. You know, Frank talked about having that kind of fluidity in the starting lineup and maybe going with different guys on different nights and it just kind of depending on the context and the opponent and the circumstance. And so I'm intrigued by that because, you know, you don't really see that with championship teams, right? You normally see them kind of have that, and you know, it's different in the playoffs where you really are gearing for a certain opponent, and you know, it's desperation, and if you have to make a change in a series, you make a change. But for the most part, you know, most contending teams kind of roll with their same starting lineup. So, you know, I don't know if he's more talking about like the back end of the rotation, or you know, like a guy like THT, maybe some nights he'll be in, some nights he'll be out. So I'm interested to see how that kind of plays out. But, you know, to me, Mark, AD, and LeBron are the no-brainers. You know, I do think Trez makes more sense off the bench. You know, Mark started in Toronto. I think he's going to fit great next to AD and LeBron as another passer and three-point shooter. To me, it's the backcourt that, you know, you can make different cases for different guys because, you know, Wes Matthews was a starter in Milwaukee, and obviously that team was pretty good. You know, Schroeder came off the bench in OKC and was the runner-up for six-man. And then you have a guy like Alex Caruso, who was so big for the Lakers in the bubble and, you know, ended up starting in the finals, you know, at the end of the season. So, these are champagne problems, you know, having this much depth and having these positional battles. For me, you know, if Schroeder really wants to start and that's important to him and that's going to be key to getting him to fully buy in, I think you probably start the guy. And then looking at that next spot, like KCP probably makes more sense than Wes, just with some of his strengths, and you know, he can cut, he can shoot. You know, I think he's probably better at guarding guards. Wes, I'd probably put on bigger wings and stuff. So I do think looking at you know, kind of the 10, 11 man rotation, those are the five guys to me that make the most sense. But if you said Wes was starting over KCP, or maybe both of those guys were starting and Schroeder was coming off the bench, like that to me would all make sense. So I am intrigued to see what he does. But that to me is the five-some that I think makes the most sense.
Jovan, great stuff, buddy. Thank you for joining the show. Congrats again on the new gig, and I know you and I will be talking a ton this season. All right, bud?
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you for joining the show. All right, there you got it. Now we have really is a good dude, actually. So he'll have some great articles covering the Lakers and the Athletics. So, you know, heads up on that front. Him and Bill Orme actually worked together on that front. Okay, when we come back, you know, it's funny. I was just talking about the starting lineup for the Lakers, and I really genuinely don't know anymore. And I had thought this was before preseason started, really before training camp even started, that it's going to be the Wesley Matthews, KCP, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol. But it does sound like now it is more leaning towards Dennis Schroeder to be a part of the starting lineup. Anthony Davis was on earlier today, or actually yesterday, was talking about what he's, you know, most looking forward to. You know, obviously looking forward to this upcoming season. So let's hear from AD and we come back. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Any thoughts on tomorrow's Lakers-Clippers matchup? Of course, the Lakers favorites in that one. If you got any thoughts on the upcoming matchup, feel free to shoot us a call, 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Good time to remind everybody, right after Lakers Talk, we'll go till 9 o'clock. We'll go on ESPN Los Angeles. We'll go on Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on YouTube. We'll be on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, all the different social platforms. We'll do about another half hour or show, so a half hour or so. That show is going to be just social media, so you get a chance to actually watch the show. So feel free to join us when this show ends. Lakers-Clippers tomorrow. So tomorrow, it's an extended pregame show. So typically we do a pregame show for about an hour and a half. Tomorrow we'll start at 5 o'clock, tip-offs at 7. And then, you know, obviously Lakers will get their rings, and Lakers and the Clippers will get started. Anthony Davis yesterday, this was a Zoom call that the Lakers had yesterday, was asked about just the confidence of the team. Do things change after you win a title? Do you feel less pressure? Which, by the way, I think it's a I've made this argument about Anthony Davis that I can't tell you how much I want AD to win MVP this upcoming season. I really do. I'd love to see Anthony Davis be the most valuable player this season. I know some people out there would say, all right, is it really that important as long as you win an NBA championship? And the only MVP that really counts is Finals MVP. So you always hear people talking about, well, it's not that important to get MVP. I'm not asking for Anthony Davis to strive for MVP. I'm asking Anthony Davis to just play his game. He's 27 years old. He's got more confidence than he's ever had. There's no weight on his shoulders because now all of a sudden you have an NBA championship, something that nobody can take away from you. You're 27 years old. Your skill set is ridiculous. I want all those to just equal an MVP. It's not taken away from the team or anything along those lines. And that's not to say that I don't want LeBron to obviously be LeBron James, but it'd be great to see kind of that baton being passed to Anthony Davis. So here's AD on the confidence this upcoming season after you do win a title.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of know what it takes to win a championship now. And so for all the guys that, you know, having won, Trez and Wes, you know, guys like that, I still want to be able to, you know, Wes been a game longer than me. And Trez is a great player, and I still want to be able to tell them things that can help us repeat. You know, those two guys, listen, they wanted to win. You know, Dennis, you know, all those guys are able to learn and able to adapt to our system quickly. You know, they listen. Obviously, when you have a team that's just, you know, coming off a championship, it's easier to do. It's easier to learn. It's easier for those guys to adapt to us, knowing that, you know, we know what it takes to win.
All right, that's Anthony Davis. That came from yesterday after Lakers practice. You know, one of the things that we're also starting to see from Anthony Davis, so there's always discussions about AD. A lot of times, you know, and I hear it during the broadcasts, John and Michael will be doing a broadcast, and Anthony Davis he'll be out on the perimeter. And Michael will start telling John, you know, I don't understand why Anthony Davis doesn't just go down low and dominate these guys. Why is he settling for the outside shot? Why is he settling for the jumper? And most of the time, you know, part of that reason is because you think of other teams and how do you stop Anthony Davis? There really is not much of a way to stop AD. You hope he has a bad night, or you hope that he settles for perimeter jumpers. But then we watch a game like Game 4, the game against the Suns in the preseason, last one. That was on Friday. We watch one of those games, and AD goes 6 of 7 from the three-point line. And the dude's got the ball dribbling towards half court, going towards the right side of the court, 30 feet away, gets up towards the basket, and does a step-back three as a 6'11", 7-foot center slash power forward drains it, goes 6 of 7 from the three-point line, and you just start saying to yourself, well, this is ridiculous. AD addressed you know, what the team is hoping that he does and how he's trying to continue to add three-point shooting to his game.
You know, last year, Coach talked to me about getting my three-point attempts up. I think I was shooting, you know, maybe 3 a game last year in the bubble. Or might have been for the season, and 38% in the bubble. And he said it helped us win. And he wanted me to get that average up to 5 attempts a game. You know, just having the confidence, you know, working with, you know, Mike P on our on my shooting day in and day out, constantly just shooting the ball with confidence and just letting it fly. Obviously the team, you know, the players want me to shoot it. They have a lot of confidence in me. And so I just got to be able to be confident enough to go out there and shoot the ball, you know, whether it's a pull-up three, socks out, whatever it is, and to try to get that attempt up to 5, just knowing that it'll help the team.
All right, that's Anthony Davis right there. You know, and I'll kind of always fall on this. I'll probably prefer AD to be down low, but, you know, his game, obviously, the ability to shoot from the perimeter. And the style of the Lakers this year, I mean, I got to imagine the Lakers, because of how young they are this season, young in the sense that there's – all the guys that are 27 and under, you got Alex Caruso, you got Kyle Kuzma, you got KCP, Anthony Davis, Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, Talen Horton Tucker thrown to the mix as well. You got about 7 guys that are under the age of 27. I don't know if Quinn Cook is under 27, but you got a number of guys that obviously can play up-tempo basketball. And one of the things that I think is going to be a disadvantage for a lot of teams out there in the league, one of the big disadvantages for a lot of teams out in the league is it's a quick turnaround, how COVID-19 is going to have an effect. But the Lakers being so deep, it's actually kind of funny. This is a question I asked a coach today on the Zoom call. I said that, you know, what are practices like? I mean, is competition, because these guys are fighting for minutes, nobody's guaranteed minutes on this Lakers roster, and they shouldn't be. But Kuzma's probably trying to make a case, hey, get me in as much as you can. Trust me, I will deliver. Talen Horton-Tucker is saying, I just showed you in four preseason games that I could be the first guard off the bench if Dennis Schroeder is starting, and I'm going to give you some productive minutes. Dennis Schroeder is trying to make a case, and KCP is, and Alex Caruso go down the list. Coach said that it's competitive in practice. It's competitive because you have all these players trying to make themselves better, all of them kind of fighting internally, but, you know, in a good way, to then eventually go out on the court, and you got a number of guys that have been playing against some of the best players in the world on a day-to-day level on practice, that by the time they get into the game, it's actually a lot easier than you would expect. So that all starts tomorrow. And we're going to kind of start seeing how those certain lineups are working together, how effective they are together, all that stuff coming up. Curtis, sorry, what's your – you work tomorrow or you, no work for you tomorrow?
Not off tomorrow. We'll be working together the night before Christmas Eve next.
Okay, so Wednesday. But real quick, so tomorrow you don't work. So you get to kick back tomorrow starting at 4. You're going to catch a little Warriors-Brooklyn and then go Lakers-Clippers?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually excited that for once it kind of scheduled out that way.
Okay, what's the setup like? Because if I wasn't working tomorrow, but obviously I'll be working, I mean, do you go and say, all right, you game plan what you're going to get for food and you bring it home? Like, how does that all work?
I'm already a homebody anyway, so I'm already pretty set up, you know? But,
got to get the takeout.
I don't have cable. I'll find a way to watch the games, though. You know me, so.
You just got to log in. I'm sure some internet streaming device will get you you need. But that is the best is when... You know, I remember over the years, opening night was, it's always one of the funnest nights in basketball. And Lakers are usually on opening night. But just kind of the setup, right? Like, you go grab some food. You get ready. You got that Eastern Conference game that's always on. I'm actually surprised it's the Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets that they're sending Golden State all the way out to Brooklyn to get things started. I mean, typically, it would be a Bucks-Nets game or a Sixers Toronto game, something along those lines, but they're sending the Warriors all the way out there. Yeah, I don't know. Tip-off tomorrow at 7 o'clock. 5 o'clock is going to be the pregame show with me and Michael. I know between now and then, Coach already said that he's not going to announce the starting lineup until right before the game starts. I think they can wait up until a half hour before they have to announce. I think it's the same thing with injuries as well. So a half hour before tip-off. Maybe we'll know when Coach does his little quick pregame presser that he does, but he may very well kind of hold off on that. That will probably be one of the storylines that comes out. We'll kind of see what that starting lineup's going to look like, and it could change. As Coach mentioned earlier today, that's going to be kind of the process of the first 30 days of kind of trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. The big news coming yesterday, Kyle Kuzma, that 3-year, $40 million contract with the Lakers, that extension with the Lakers, player option in the final year. If you missed Kyle Kuzma, who was on a little bit earlier in the show, you can download Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on the ESPN app or on iTunes, so you'll catch all 2 hours. But it really was a great conversation with Kuz, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of eyes on Kuzma this upcoming season as the Lakers try to go back-to-back, and he kind of tries to figure out his role on a night-in, night-out basis, and he's going to continue to be a polarizing figure for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's just kind of been the case. Thank you for being a part of the show. Just a quick reminder, ESPN app or on iTunes, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. We're going to go do social now for another half hour, 45 minutes or so. Thank you to Curtis. Thank you to everybody that called and been a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.